What's up?
Great Britain made history as the first team ever to win an Olympic, World, and European championship, and the first to win all three in the same year.
Bunch of jackass liars they are. Welcome to the Soderstrom bubble. We are nothing if not timely in terms of what we talk topically. We were going to talk about modern day NHL, but who wants to do that when the Olympics are going to hell in a handbasket for the NHL?
Yeah.
So we're going to be talking the Olympics and international hockey. I guess first and foremost, your thoughts on the NHL not going to the Olympics. Do you care? Do you like it? Do you not like it?
I personally have no opinion one way or the other. I get that NHL players feel that urge to represent their country. That being said, you know, I've never been one to really watch the Olympics closely, and I'm talking winter, summer, whatever. I'm just not. So I'm pretty neutral on this.
By the way, we forgot to introduce ourselves. That's Jen. I'm Scott. Soderstrom Bubble. Welcome. Yeah, I never get the whole the nationalism thing, the nationalistic pride or anything like that. So I didn't care either way that they're not going. I'm kind of glad. I'm sure you're going to have your guys like Ovechkin and stuff try to go.
Sure.
And I'm fine with that. But Canadians and Americans aren't going to go.
I think part of it for me is the just overwhelmingly nauseous coverage of so-and-so is flying to the practice today and so-and-so was left off the team and the great big unveiling and the like.
So it's World Juniors but for the pros, essentially.
Yeah, and it's just, it kills me and I just don't care at a point. There just comes a point. I could not care less.
Yeah, it's not a big thing. If there's like in minor league implications, I'll watch.
Mm-hmm.
Or if it's just people that, you know, stories and I'm not going to get up at 7 a.m., I'm not going to lie. So there's that. But I mean, like I said, like we said on the Faceoff Hockey Show, Canadians aren't going to go. They're not going to break rank. They're good company people. Americans aren't going to break rank. No one's like Crosby's not going to jump out of the building to say that the hell with you, Pittsburgh. I'm going to represent Canada. No, he's never going to do that. So,
yeah. And, you know, oddly enough, this is one of the topics of my thesis research, like nationalism in sports and international competition. And I've hit a burnout point. Like, I just, it doesn't matter the way it used to anymore. You know, it's not going
to
be, there's never going to be another 1980. There's never going to be another 1998. There's never going to be another, you know, like, it's just.
It's run its course.
Yeah. Yeah.
So. Yeah, but with that going, we figured, hey, why not? Why don't we just talk about the international hockey side? And, now, one of the things that Gary Bettman said in his farewell to the Olympics until we get to China and can get that cash money, bro, comments is he tried to petition for it to be in the summer games, like basketball is, so it doesn't break up the season all that, or it doesn't have to stop the season, and you go like that. And I think that would kill the World Cup of Hockey, and I think people would be happy about that.
I think a lot of people would be happy with that, because the World Cup of Hockey is so new and it's so forced, I guess.
I would say it's forced. It used to be, it comes off the heels of the Canada Cup.
Yeah.
So,
but somehow this version of it feels more forced.
Well, because everyone knows what it is now. Like, it's not, oh, it's international competition. Like, 96, it was getting ready for the first Olympic appearance.
Right.
2004 was kind of a farewell to hockey for professionals for a bit.
Right.
This one was essentially, and they kind of laid it out here like that, is that, you know what, we're not making money off the Olympics because we're not allowed to. We can't make any merchandise. We can't show any highlights.
Yep.
We can't license anything with the Olympics.
There's no money in it for us, and we want out.
No, and it's a business.
Yeah.
I understand it wholeheartedly. Good on Gary Bettman. Good on Gary Bettman for finally saying, you know what, screw this. We're not getting, they can't show Crosby's goal. They can't make TJ's, like I think it was Craig Wyshynski on Puck Soup said, we can't make TJ Soshi t-shirts and sell in shopnhl.com.
Right.
Like, you can't do that. So why not go ahead and.
Well, plus, it costs them money, because, and it costs them
huge
player
money.
Talent.
Huge
I mean,
money.
If you're, if your best player goes over there and gets injured in the Olympics,
John Tavares.
Yeah, you know, what have you got to come out of that that's positive?
And
you
it
know?
Sunk their season, and everyone said that it sunk their season. So,
and on top of that, they have to contribute toward the insurance costs and whatever. So for them, it's a lose-lose prospect.
Right.
You know, for the owners, I get that.
Yep. And you know, you don't want to shut. You don't want to shorten the season. You don't want to shut down the season because it's also money out of your pocket.
Right.
And there has been no correlation to the NHL being the Olympics and a raise in attendance or interest in the NHL.
Right.
So why did, in the women's side you can see it differently.
Mm-hmm.
Women's soccer is a great example of that. Where women's soccer go to the Olympics or go to a World Cup and they win, there's a lot of buzz generated, and then for like 2 weeks people go to the club teams and watch them play and then leave. I mean, you can say the same for women, though the women's league, well, we haven't seen it yet because the women's league wasn't out in 2014.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you could probably have a more sustainable buzz if the you shut down the NWHL and the CWHL, but then when they come back, it's a huge big marketing push. Like, this is the time for your marketing push to happen after the Olympics, especially considering what's happened with the women's U.S. team.
Yeah.
So there's that venture. I guess my point after we meandered through this whole thing was this is not unheard of to try to push for the Summer Olympics, is that that's when it started. It was the first ever ice hockey games of the Olympics was in the 1920 Summer Games.
At Antwerp, Belgium. Yeah.
And it had an interesting tournament. Do you remember the rules of the tournament?
No.
I will tell you the rules, because I'm reading this and I still don't really understand it. So it was called the Bergvall system. There were three rounds played. The first round was an elimination tournament that determined the gold medal winner. So, boom.
Okay.
Second round was those who didn't win the gold medal winner, and they were awarded a silver. The third round, there's your bronze.
Yeah, and you had seven teams.
Yes, you had...
So you had a bye. Someone had to buy it.
Yep, you had Canada, Czechoslovakia, U.S., Switzerland, Sweden, France, Belgium. So there were your four or seven nation army. Oh, 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 oh.
The scores were ridiculous.
Or this, you have the scores in front of you?
I do. Okay. Canada played Czechoslovakia 15-0.
Jesus.
U.S. played Switzerland 29-0. Sweden played Belgium 8-0. And then Canada beat the U.S. 2-0, Sweden beat France 4-0, and Canada beat Sweden for the gold 12-1. And then in the silver medal round, it was U.S. versus Sweden, and U.S. won 7-0. And then the U.S. played Czechoslovakia and won 16-0.
That's a lot of doobage there. you obviously have that whole ordeal, and now we move. They're like, oh, no, this is better in the winter. So they moved to the Winter Games starting in 1924, in which the Toronto Granites, who, much like the Winnipeg Falcons before them, was the Allan Cup winner, chose to represent Canada as this was an amateur event. And so because of that, they went out and just straight dominated people. 110-3 was the outscoring of this. Harry Watson had 36 goals.
Yeah.
In a short tournament, he had 36 goals.
Well, he's a Hall of Famer. I mean, for good reason.
For a reason, yeah.
Yeah.
So there's that whole scenario there. And then moving forth, you know, in 28 was in Switzerland, another Canadian team. They were given the bye into the medal round.
Yeah, they just assumed that Canada was going to dominate, so.
Now, the interesting thing about this was 36.
Yeah.
The British what?
Well, they got a bronze medal, like, what, 8 years before that? Before that?
Well, yeah, like, ten countries played, and one of them was Liechtenstein, so.
The problem is with the British team is that they were mostly Canadian Army officers and university graduates who'd gone to Britain, which at this time wasn't uncommon because people were immigrating to Britain and from Britain into Canada. So it was kind of like this switch point.
Almost as if like a talent exchange, kind of.
Basically. And Britain had a big craze for hockey, and so they were always trying to lure, like, Canadian men over to Britain to play, to work and to play hockey. But, yeah, and so this became a big problem with the Olympics, and they made a rule that the team had to be British-born, but they got around that by finding guys who were born in Britain, raised and played in Canada, like raised and trained in Canada.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, it's almost akin to what Jason Miyazaki did back in 2006.
Yeah.
Where my third grandparent twice removed was Italian, so the Italians are just like, sure.
Yeah, they got one Canadian guy, one Canadian born guy on their team in 36, and the rest were all born in Britain, raised in Canada.
It makes sense to me, I guess. So. Yeah, so that was interesting. There are 24. Britain won the bronze. Then we get 48-52. 52 the last time Canada won a gold medal for 50 years.
Well, we should back up for a minute.
All right, back up. Back. Beep, beep, beep. What you got?
From 1920 mm-hmm. to 1968, the Olympics also doubled as the World Championships.
Oh, okay.
So you got to keep that in mind as if we're going to be talking Olympics and other international competitions.
So from 20 to, what was it, 68?
68.
Mm.
Yep.
And then, yeah, I guess after that it was onward and upward from there as two separates. All right, so then we get to 52, Oslo. Last mm-hmm. time Canada won until Salt Lake 50 years later. And then, you know, the Soviet Union started to come about 1956.
They basically crashed the gates and kicked everybody's butts.
Well, to start with, yes. And then they had that little blurb at Squaw Valley, which is not an underrated U.S. gold medal in Squaw Valley.
It really was. Everybody forgets it because of...
Because of 80?
Because of 80. So, yeah.
What was
that
about
was a great team, though. I mean, you look at the names on the team. It was a really well-put-together team.
Who were the names on the team?
Jack McCartan was one of the goalies. He played in the NHL. You had John Mayasic, big, big name in Minnesota hockey, big name in the NHL. Roger Christian. Oh, I went too far. let's see who else. You had both of the Christians, actually. The last guy cut from that team was Herb Brooks.
Mm. Who decided to take his vendetta out on coaching.
But, you know, it's maybe not names that people would recognize today, but it was a really well-put-together team. A lot of them were, like, all-stars, all-Americans on their college teams.
And that's just it. They're not household names because right. they were amateur guys.
Right.
And they were, and college hockey at that point had not been a thing.
This is basically like, okay, if you had taken this year's NCAA, right? And you had said, okay, Charlie McAvoy, you're on the all-star team. And Jost, you're on the all-star team. And, you know, go down the line of the big names in NCAA hockey from this year. And then you said, okay, boys, go play the Olympics. That's basically what they did with this team.
Yeah. So, you take the best of the best. That's World Juniors, essentially.
Yeah.
It's World Juniors at that time. So, Canada there, and then the Russians happened. Soviet Union, 64, 68, 72, 76. It was basically a pro team, wasn't it? Like,
yes.
It was an amateur event, yes, but... They kind of didn't adhere to that all that well, did they?
No. The Soviet Union got around it by claiming that these were army officers. They all had army jobs. They all had, you know, desk jobs, you know, whatever.
Which technically correct.
Which is technically correct. They were
the best kind of correct.
Yeah, they were in the army, and they did have jobs within the army, and their job within the army was to win games.
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, yeah, that's how they got around it. And everyone said, you know, look at what's going on, make this stop. And the head of the, I think it was the head of the Olympic Federation, Bunny Ahern, he was very anti-Canada. I just, for whatever reason, just very anti-Canada. And he's like, well, no, it's fine. Look, they're following the rules. See, they're not paying them for playing. They're paying them for being officers. You know, like this.
But it's one of those things where it's just like, well, you're not helping anybody else out.
No.
You know, it's one of those.
No, he just liked keeping the Canadians down for one reason. And the other was he just liked to rule with an iron fist. So.
Yeah. Well, he's also the guy who lured the Canadians away from Canada to put them in Great Britain, too.
Right,
so
right.
That's probably why.
Yeah, no, he was the coach of those early British Olympic teams. So, yeah.
So.
I don't know what Canada ever did to him.
I don't know. Well, he's born in Ireland, so he's a known wanker. So there's that. The Russian teams, like, mm-hmm. you were talking about just, you know, it being okay. What was the backlash for that? Because wasn't there a time where Canada said, Stugatz, I'm out of here?
Yeah, Canada tried to open negotiations and said, let us have pro players. You know, let us have AHL players. Let us have, you know, something, anything.
Minor pro players.
Yeah, and they were like, no, screw you.
Which doesn't make a bit of sense.
All right, so here's how it goes. So Canada wasn't doing that well at the Olympics, and Canada was angry. And this guy named Father Bauer came up with his own idea of a national team. He'd pick out the best junior players, and they would come together on his team instead. And they were dedicated to training, you know. And it was this really grand plan of making it back into the limelight and winning again. And it didn't go quite as planned, but out of that you get Hockey Canada in 1968. So that's where it kind of starts. Is Hockey Canada is formed, and it takes over all amateur and international governance for hockey.
And it's almost akin to what the Soviets were doing, minus an army.
Yes.
So, I mean, did Father Bauer get that, who's, by the way, arena named after him in Northwest Calgary, which was the home for Hockey Canada for the longest time before they moved to Winsport, right by the Olympic Park. Did he take that from the Soviets in terms of just when did he see that, or was it just his own basis of trying to get a bigger national presence in hockey rather than having people piecemealed throughout the world?
His idea was, you know, instead of taking this team that just went all through all of this to win the Allan Cup, these older guys, let's take these younger guys who train together year-round, who are prepared for this sort of strenuous, this is all they train for, you know, they're not going to be tired by the time they get to the Olympics or whatever. So his idea was to just make it easier for them to train and focus and all of these things, and rather than putting them through the, you know, 70-game season. Or whatever it was that the Allan Cup went through. I'm not an expert, so, you know, don't get mad at me. But his idea was just, if they could just focus on this one thing all year round. You know, it's like focusing on WrestleMania all year round. Like, that's the only thing you're training for is WrestleMania. Or, you know, I can't think of anything.
I can't
like the Masters, maybe?
Yeah, I would think the Masters or something.
It's like
kind
the only thing you do all
Wimbledon.
Year. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is that's all you do every day. You get up and you practice for Wimbledon and you practice for the Masters. Like, that's it. That's all you do. So.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Definitely makes sense in terms of just going about, you know, keeping everything together. And it worked even later on into the 80s when the national team had a bigger presence in Canada, where they toured around a lot and they mm-hmm. trained a lot. And this is where mm-hmm. NHLers who were in contract disputes went. We'll get to that in a bit.
Getting back to Canada. So Hockey Canada is created and Alan Eagleson gets involved because, of course, he does.
Sure.
And Benny Ahern gets pissed off and says, you're nothing but an errand boy. Leave. And then nothing happens. And then in 69, at the IIHF meeting, the delegations agreed to let Canada use 9 minor professional league players and or reinstated amateurs. So guys who played briefly in the minor pros and then got their amateur status back.
Okay.
Which wasn't an uncommon. I mean, it wasn't common, but it wasn't completely unheard of either at the time. And then in 69, they went to an invitational and they finished too close to the Soviets, who pressured a whole bunch of people on the delegations into backing off of letting the minor pro players in.
Ironic.
Right? Soviet Union liked what they had going. They didn't want anybody to upset it. And so then finally, Canada said, well, we're going to take our ball and we're just going to go home. And they're going to skip everything, the Olympics, the World Championships, everything, until at least 1977. And when they started to follow up on it, their national tournaments went, wait, wait, we need the Canadians. They make us look legitimate because it's their game. Ta-da!
Mm-hmm. Everything is healed.
Yes.
So the Soviet domination of the Olympics continued until 1980. Miracle on Ice. Do you believe in miracles? Blah, 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 blah. So over that story. But that's a team that had not amateurs in it, right?
The 80
team? The 80 team?
No, it was college kids again.
Was Morrow still... Morrow won a cup that year, didn't he?
He signed after.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough, then.
Yeah.
But it had a couple of pretty big names on that list there. Got your, like we said, Ken Morrow, Mike Rizzioni, Dave Christian, Neil Broughton. You know, your who's who of guys there. And it's funny because people, you know, still believe that's... There's some people who believe that's a gold medal game.
Yeah.
And nope.
Nope.
They could have not medaled at all.
That's true.
If they lost to Finland,
yes,
they could have just been... That could have just been a blip on the radar.
Yes.
So... There it is. I'm trying to think, do you know offhand, or we have to look this up, when the format changed from that kind of, the crazy garbage thing until actually playing playoffs for the medal round. Yeah. So I want to say it was unified team almost. So here, by the way, before this, after the 80 thing, in 84, a dispute was talking about what made a player professional.
Yeah.
And the IOC adopting that whoever had signed an NHL contract but played less than 10 games in the league was eligible to play. But then the USOC said that any player contracted with the NHL team was professional, therefore not eligible to play.
Yeah.
So the USA cutting off their nose to spite their face because they were all in that high of the Miracle on Ice. They're like, nah, we can do this with college guys. Good work, guys. Way to fucking do that one.
In 84, the teams that didn't go to Sarajevo got to compete in an extra trophy, or a different trophy.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, the Thayer Tut. And it happened three times, 80, 84, and 88. It was for national teams that didn't qualify for the Olympics, apparently.
Oh, didn't qualify. I thought, like, guys.
Yeah,
who'd...
I thought so, too. Then I clicked on it. I'm like, that's not right. Okay.
I could see Sarajevo because of the tension that was there.
Yeah.
It's like the NIT of NIT of the Olympics right there is going to the, what was it, the helmet tournament, whatever was it called? The Thayer Tut.
Yeah.
Jeez, that sounds like a Star Wars. There it is. That's also, IIHF didn't run a championship those times either. It's almost like the NHL not having an all-star game, but
right.
Bigger.
92 is the unified team.
Yes. I'm still trying to find medalist qualifications, first round. Oh, final round. There we go. So 84, it looks like they went to elimination, or at least some kind of playoff round. Because Canada lost to the Soviet Union, Czechoslovakia beat Sweden, and then Canada lost to Sweden to lose bronze, and Soviets beat Czechoslovakia to win gold. So there is that. Then we get to like the leaner years, IHL and AHL guys starting to be on teams starting in, I think, 88. 94, I know for sure.
Yeah, no, 88 was the start.
88 was the big one, because that was in Calgary. Andy Moog played with a bubble dome. He had the fish tank for one game because he wanted to try something new. That failed horribly. He took a year off of hockey. Like, he took a year off the NHL to be able to play in those games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that was pretty damn interesting, all things considered. Because, you know, guys didn't do that, especially when he was in the Oilers dynasty.
Yeah.
I was wondering if that's a contract dispute or anything on his part. Because I know Sean Burke, when he played, that was a contract dispute with the Devils.
Mm-hmm.
When he went to the 88 team, because they were having issues because he was such a good rookie, and he's just like, no, I don't want to do that. I was like, all right, piss off. I'm going to play in the Olympics then. Eat me.
Reading down the list of the Finnish medalists from 88.
Mm.
A lot of
umlauts.
Eloranta, Helminen, Milas, Numanen. I always mispronounce this one. Ruotsalainen, something like that.
Ruotsalainen.
There we go. And who was the other one I saw? Well, I can't find it, but yeah.
It's Kai Sukkonen.
Kai.
Timo Sukkonen.
Kai, yeah, Sukkonen, yep.
Not a, Jesus Christ. My God. Like, honestly, can I buy, like, a consonant? That'd be great. So the Moog thing, he demanded a trade after they stopped doing the 50-50, and Grant Fuhr got the most of the start. So he walked out on the team to play in Team Canada. Him and Burke played 4 games each. Canada finished 4th. So he almost got traded to the Penguins, too, Mr. Andy Moog.
Yeah.
Eddie DeBartolo Jr., or Sr., of the Penguins said no.
Hmm.
He could not trade a first-round draft pick. And that first-round draft pick? Or no, it was Steve Gwinnett and a first-round draft pick. So they said, no, first-round draft pick. I'm not going to trade that away. So he went there. He was traded to the Bruins after that. So there you go. But 92, the Olympics were interesting in the 90s.
They were. They kicked off in a weird way, too, because 92, you had the recent dissolution of the Soviet Union. So you had several of these Soviet bloc countries that had players that wanted to go to the Olympics, no team to really play for. Like, there was no Czech national team versus Slovakian team versus Yugoslavia. Like the different chunks of these countries had players that wanted to go and didn't want to play for Russia or play for
Czechoslovakia
or...
So well, Russia didn't have a team at all, did
yeah.
they? Like, that, by that time, that country had been gone. You gone.
Well, no, yeah, the kind of, like, the Soviet Union itself was gone, but...
did someone still try to...
The members of the United team were Armenia, Belarus, Kazakhstan, Russia, Ukraine, and Uzbekistan.
Hmm.
So, like, if you were from contested areas...
Right.
And, you know...
You're yeah. Bosnia and or Herzegovina's.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
You're so. Yugoslavia's. but no, also, the Summer Winter Games went boom, 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 boom. They bordered together.
Yeah.
And then at that point, they're just like, no, let's have the winters every 4 years, not conducive in between Summer Games. So then, like, there was a 92s game, and then there was the 94s, not too long after that in Albertville. But yeah, the unified team, my gosh. Like, that team, Nikolai Hobby Bullen, Kasper Reitis, Alexei Zhitnik, Igor Kravchuk. Who was that?
Mironov. Zhamnov.
Dmitry Yuskevich, Zhamnov, Zubov. I mean, a who's who of guys. Mikhail Shtelenkov became a big name, and the only time until he got drafted by the Ducks and they just crapped the bed. But that Canadian team was the closest they could get to a cup, and they had a lot of guys in there. Sean Burke making a return appearance for this. Joey Juneau, Trevor Kidd, Eric Lindros.
This is the one name that, like, pops out at you from
yeah, it's just
Dave
like,
Tippett was on that team.
Tippett was on that team. Sam Saint Laurent, who was the, I believe, the last goalie to wear a fiberglass mask. Like the full one-piece mask. He was. There we go. He was. That is the distinction. So, yeah, I mean, that was the closest team they got. Then 94, Lillehammer. Poor Corey Hirsch. And you know what? I don't want to blame Corey Hirsch for that because Paul Kariya was the last shooter there, and he still couldn't bury it past Tommy Salo. And Tommy Salo got beat by Belarus from, like, they were playing in Salt Lake City. The guy from Belarus shot that from, like, mid Phoenix, Tempe area. And Tommy Sella's like, Oopy! And then shrugs, and it goes over his shoulder. He jumped and then shrugged at the same time. Yeah. I don't know what the hell he was expecting. It did no purpose. But anyway, yeah, the Lillehammer Games was the last time it was truly a legitimate situation, at least in my eyes, because, I mean, you had a lot of these young kids. Like I said, Hirsch, Manny Legacy was on there, Brad Wawrinka, Paul Kariya, Peter Nedved, which was an interesting case in general with his defection from the Czech Republic, or Czechoslovakia.
That's a pretty wild story. We're going to have to do a podcast just on the defections.
Mm-hmm. We can do that next week. I really don't feel like talking about modern day hockey, in all honesty. If we can put that off as long as possible, because that's like spanning 17 years almost.
Yeah.
We could probably do that at the beginning of next year. Production meetings on air. but I mean, like, hell, like the Swedish team was a hodgepodge of everybody. Tommy Salo, young guys like Tommy Salo, Kenny Janssen, Peter Forsberg. And then you had.
Was it Mats Naslund?
Yeah, you had the old guards like Matt Naslund, Hockenlube. Freddie Stillman.
Was this the last one with oh yeah, this was the last one with Mats.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Before he went off into the sunset.
Yeah.
So
sad that my Swedish jersey is one Olympic too late. Yeah.
I think it's, is it one Olympic or two? I think it's might be two Olympics.
Ah.
It's hard to tell because
it's a very, very similar style.
It's always with the Trey Krondor.
Yeah.
Basically,
you can tell by the fabric it's made from.
Essentially, it's the jersey design and what Nike decided to go. I think it's a couple because Reebok could have had the sponsorship in 96 and then Nike took over because that's the Nike kind of V-neck in there. So so that happens. And then the pros happen. Nagano. Big thing in Nagano. NHL going to Japan.
Huge expectations.
Huge. Oh, not even huge expectations, but it was just a huge deal because...
Yeah.
The NHL had put so much work into this, and they didn't figure out after year one it was not going to work out.
Well, the thing is, they got it, like, 20 years too late, right? Like, they had wanted pros so that they could beat the Soviet Red Army team.
Sure. And then they can't beat a Czech Republic team that's just the country for 6 seconds. So, big expectation, of course, the Gretzky controversy after that. And, I mean, when you look at... I don't know how you would, I guess, classify this, but this is when hockey was solidified as the must-see event for the Winter Olympics, I think, in 98. You can probably argue before then, too, because outside of skiing, which no one really gives a crap about in the U.S. and North America.
Ice dancing.
Figure skating people care about. Trust me, my mom went to all those things back in the day.
I was supposed to actually be a volunteer at the ice skating events.
No, in Salt Lake.
In Salt Lake, yeah.
Yeah, you're far too pregnant then.
I was way too pregnant then.
So, but anyway, the thing, like outside of like skiing and figure skating and maybe curling.
Maybe bobsled.
Like these are things that run every year, but no one really cares about. I mean, I saw it like on Saturday afternoons in Canada on the CBC.
They do bunch peels.
Yeah, when they do like the wide world of sports kind of thing, where you're showing bobsledding and alpine skiing and your bunch peel. That was on TSN, so big time there.
Well, when I lived in student housing, my son would sit and watch curling on CBC. Like randomly on Saturday afternoons or whatever. He's like, Mom, this is the coolest thing. Now, granted, he was like 4 at the time, but...
That is still the coolest thing.
Yeah, but so, you know, it's on all the time, so...
Oh, there you go, again. Curling networks.
Yeah.
It's like duck pin bowling. very awesome. Very few people do it, except old people. But yeah, like hockey became the must-see event starting in 98. 2002 was iconic in that Canada finally won after 50 years.
Yeah.
And it was on close to home soil, so the NHL people didn't really have to stay up late or get up early for that. So that
it was in their time zone.
They love that.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, a lot of people complaining about, I don't want to watch. Yeah, Korea and China are in the same goddamn time zone, people.
Well, I don't know if they do this outside of the U.S. and Canada, but when the Winter Olympics are in the U.S. or Canada, they do take all of the trophies and put them on display.
Oh, I'm sure they do. I'm sure they do that.
Like, I don't know if they do that in Japan or
they probably
or whatever. But
I would think for China they would. Korea probably not so much because they've hosted a couple games.
Yeah.
But I think they got a touring circus going around, like they usually will. Wish would be the good. Wish has been to like 5 Olympic events, and he's the least athletic person I know. present company excluded. So, like he could probably be the one to answer on that. So,
yeah, I just remember standing in line forever and ever and ever to see the Stanley Cup at the 2002 Olympics. So. And it was just, and there were people in line who'd never seen the cup, never had a chance to get even remotely close to it, and they were all excited.
Well, yeah, because it's Salt Lake City.
Yeah.
Like, this is before, like, the Hockey Hall of Fame decided to take the Stanley Cup on tours of minor league cities and stuff.
Right. So we were all super excited to be able to get close to it. So I was just wondering if that was still a thing that they did. Because, I mean, all the trophies were there. The Art Ross was there. The Rocket Richard.
Oh, you're
was
talking
there.
About. Oh, I'm sorry. You're talking about NHL trophies. I thought you meant like Olympic medals and stuff like that.
No. Because when the Olympics were in Salt Lake, they had all the trophies on display.
I think it's too much to. It's one thing to give it to all like the foreign players to have a cup for the day.
Yeah.
So I would think to bring all the trophies over would probably be
for
a little too much. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think they do it just when it's domestic.
Yeah, that would make sense.
So,
but it's a smart move on the NHL's part to do that. So,
well, hell, I mean, why wouldn't they? They're kind of in that. I mean, was it written to the CBA? The Olympics were.
Yeah.
So, I mean, except for this CBA, that's when the players are like, oh, damn it. We got that, and then the Olympics now dead. Yeah. Canada finally wins, starts to get dominant, and then dead. Last two Olympic. Three of the last 4 Olympic gold medal went to Canada.
Yeah, some of the names on this list of winners, like if they were to put on all of their medals at once, they'd probably clank or just fall over.
Well, why wouldn't you clank it?
I like Tretiak.
Tretiak,
yeah. Like, how many medals does he have? It's ridiculous.
Oh yeah, well yeah, you play with pros against like. Some guy from Michigan Tech. I think you're going to dominate constantly, guys. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. I have some great pictures from the 98 Olympics of the Czech team coming home and talking to the president in the main square in Prague. And they've all got on like these bonsai-type headbands. And they're all just very clearly drunk. And it's just hilarious. So.
Also in 98, the beginning of the women's... Olympic side of things.
Yes.
Last time America won a gold medal, 98. Then it was runner-up, bronze, runner-up, runner-up. Canada, 4 straight. U.S. doesn't have a problem winning these world championships. Problem is they can't do it on the bigger stage. So
yeah.
We'll see how 2018 goes for them. And then, yeah, international, like you mentioned before, it was the International Federation. The International Ice Hockey Federation used the World Cup or the World Championship as the Olympics for those. Was it those years or was it for the 4-year?
It was for those years.
Just for those years, okay.
Yeah. Like they were considered coincidental.
Right.
So.
And I mean, this is a time like, and even now, like you look at the World Championships, the people who get really batshit insane about it are the Europeans.
Yeah.
Because this, to them, was their Stanley Cup.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why you see like a lot of NHL guys who are from the U.S. and from Canada, unless they're wildly nationalistic or they have an agenda of trying to get that third part of to be in the Triple Gold Club,
mm-hmm.
which is Stanley Cup, Olympic gold medal, World Championship gold medal.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be honest. That's the only reason why Sidney Crosby went over a couple years ago was to get that world championship medal. That's it. Like that's mm-hmm. the only reason. I will fight somebody who says otherwise. Oh, he's Captain Canada. Yeah, bullshit. He is.
That doesn't mean they can't be selfish every now and then.
No, and you know, good on him.
Yeah,
good on him. If when the Penguins get eliminated the first round this year, is he going to do it? I would. If he does it, then I will rebuke everything I've said. But to this point. Punk bitch. But yeah, I mean, Europeans are wild about this, and European guys to a man if they can do it their play mm-hmm. afterwards. Because this is after a regular season and for some of them first and even second rounds of the playoffs,
because
it starts mid-May, I think.
Yeah, no, there are guys who will fly out, like, okay, game's over, they toss their stuff in a bag, and they're out. Yeah, they're on a plane.
They're eliminated, and they already had their flights booked, ready to go.
Yeah.
And the World Championships is weird, because you can be in the playoffs, and you can still have people added onto your roster.
Yeah.
I'm like, that seems a little...
That seems counterproductive, but okay.
Good work, guys, I guess. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, the World Championships is just wild. I'm just looking at all the rankings and stuff like that, how many gold medals everyone's got, and they don't have it here. Why would they have one?
The women's hockey, the record for total medals is 5. Hefford and Wickenheiser.
Mm.
Karen Ouellette has 4. On the men's side, the record is 4.
Just for world championships?
No, this is for Olympics.
Oh.
Tretiak has 3 gold, 1 silver. Kravchuk has 2 gold, 1 silver, 1 bronze. And Yuri Holik, I should say, 2 silver, 2 bronze.
Makes sense. I mean,
yeah.
Your lifespan in your career is probably what? 2-3 games tops in your prime that you're effective?
Yeah, probably.
So, especially if you're playing all year. That can do you in. Then, of course, you have your other tournaments. You have your World Juniors tournament, which I think... I'm trying to think of when it got super popular. I want to say it was the Grand Forks Games when Crosby and them... In Canada, yeah. It was always a big deal.
I think you're right, because a lot of people have said, you know, it's just not the same now as it was then.
Mm-hmm.
And they're absolutely right, because in 2005, you had some big-name buzz. You had, you know... young, exciting guys on these teams. And they were doing incredible things during these games. And because of the way that broadcasting has exploded on social media and Facebook and, you know, whatever, you could see the highlights 24/7. And it just mushroomed. So.
Yeah, I mean, when I moved up there to Calgary, it was, you know, the Christmas time, a big thing. And especially mm-hmm. with the pros guys there, mm-hmm. it's a huge thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, now it's gotten big, got big, and then kind of peaked, and then downfall a little bit, mm-hmm. where, you know, people will pay attention to it if, like, people will pay attention to the USA if the USA is doing well.
Yeah, or if the guy from their team is on.
Sure. Yeah, if their prospect is there,
yeah,
then they'll go for it. But, you know, other than that, they really couldn't care less.
No.
Well,
and Grand Forks also set a standard, too, for atmosphere and arena.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you wouldn't tell that by the under-18s, I'll tell you that much right now.
Yeah, that was kind of sad. But, I mean, it's the UND arena is really nice. Mm-hmm. And it seats, what, 12?
11 plus is what it's considered a sellout. So.
Yeah.
I think it's 11, 10, 75. I don't know. That's like 17 different numbers I put together.
But the point is, it's about the size of an AHL arena, isn't it?
Yes, it's and it's much better than most AHL.
Yeah, it's a very nice. It's like if you took an NHL arena and shrunk it a little.
Mm-hmm.
That's about how nice it is. So
11,640, by the way.
Okay, so you have the atmosphere, and you have the really nice arena, and you have the superstars. Like, where do you go from there? Like, honestly, what's the next step?
I mean, you like Montreal and Toronto, you bid on them, and whoever has Team Canada does great, and then everything else looks garbage. I mean, that's happened the past 2 times. Like,
yeah.
And I mean, and it's funny because people in USA don't care unless they win.
Yeah.
I mean,
but at the same time, I've read the pieces that say, you know, Grand Forks really set was really the turning point, but they could never get the World Juniors again. Because their venue is too small and, you know, all these things. So the idea now is that it's some sort of big stage event. Like, it can only be held in Buffalo. It can only be held in Tampa. It can only be held in Montreal. It can only be held in, you know.
Chicago, yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think the big thing with this is that it's not so much that Ralph Engelstad is small.
Mm.
There's not a good arena around to help host it.
Mm.
I mean, I haven't seen Feith River Falls. That's probably not a big arena.
No.
We were in Fargo. That is a tiny joint with shitty sight lines.
That arena would be embarrassed. I mean, it's just
it's a nice looking arena.
Yeah,
it's good if you want to go to a one off game. Yeah. It's good if you want to be Fargo Force.
Yeah.
Anything that has any kind of high priority,
no,
you're not gonna see it there. I'm sorry. That's when I saw when the Jets were talking about moving out of St. John's a few years back before they settled in Winnipeg. People were saying Fargo. I'm just like,
no. Have you been?
great thought. It's one concourse. Like you don't have double levels. They got the club seating though,
which is also the media box.
Well, no, that's not even the club seating. Club seating's the club boxes.
Oh, you're talking the boxes.
Yeah, the luxury boxes.
I thought you meant the club level.
The quote unquote luxury boxes.
Yeah.
And then the concourse that you walk around or around in the stands, like you have like the Joe or HP Pavilion. That's where like you said, Meteor Row is, and it's terrible sight lining.
Especially if people decide to stand up.
Yeah. Because then you
can't see anything short of climbing on the table.
Essentially, and get a sturdier chair and hope for the best.
Yeah.
So, but the other international event that I love, you know my affinity for this.
The Canada Cup?
No. Close. Only 76, though. Only the 76th Canada Cup. I don't know. I'm just saying it ran a year. The Spengler Cup.
Oh, yes.
The Spengler Club.
We're going to go one of these
years.
I
hope so.
We have to.
Because that arena, the Davos Arena, which is Valiant Arena. Oh, is that just a beautiful piece of work. It's like a ski lodge.
I just say it reminds me of the inside of the Scandinavian churches with all of the wood.
The buttresses.
Yeah, the buttresses and the,
it looks nice. And then that's a Christmas Day tradition that... You know, it's invitation only. I mean, I think that's what's really cool about it. It's invitation only. HG Davos is always there because they host the thing. Team Canada is always there, and that's just a concoction of guys from Europe and some AHL and ECHL guys.
Some guys hoping to revive their career.
Yeah, Cujo went there.
Yeah.
Who else? Marty Turco went there.
Yep.
Jeff Drouin Delorier went there.
Did Tim Thomas go there?
He's not Canadian, so no.
Well... Okay, side question then, I guess.
I don't think he went. I don't think he... Unless Jokerit went. I don't know.
Let's look.
Because he played for Jokerit for a time.
Yeah, and the Bruins were trying to be really thoughtful to him and send him a team guide. And he wasn't in the team guide.
Jokerit does not appear to have ever been invited to the tournament. There was a Team Finland, and that's been it.
Nope, because he played for HIFK.
Oh, he played for HIFK.
Yeah, AIK, Karpat, and Jokerit.
Doesn't look like there's any Farustad from Sweden.
Yep.
AIK?
Yep, he played for AIK.
Did he? What year?
2002-01.
Oh, close. 1578 is when they went.
So close.
Moto. These are all like in the 60s. Like your team Poland, your team Finland was in 75. So yeah, no modern day teams. There were a couple minor league teams that have gone. The Rochester Americans have gone twice, in fact.
Hmm.
So their most recent, I want to say 2014. So yeah, good times there with international tournaments. I like the Spengler the best. It's quick. It's Redonkulous and Redo von Arcs.
And their referee jerseys.
The cow jerseys.
Oh, they make me crazy.
I love them. The Moo Cow jerseys are the best jerseys.
The crowds there are pretty awesome, too, from what I hear.
Yeah. Like, they're very... It's very soccer.
Yeah, with the cowbells and the...
Chanting.
And the skate and the singing and the... Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, just for the atmosphere alone, I would love to go. Give me a seat, though. I'm not going to stand with those goddamn hooligans. I couldn't do that. You kidding me? I'd have to learn a different language to sing songs.
It's not that hard.
I can barely understand rap music, much less... screw that. I can barely understand some of this hipster folk bullshit that we have going on here.
Oh.
What are these dance hall things? This Daft Punk the kids are talking about. It's garbage. Any case. So that's it. That's our tour through international hockey. I think that's we've covered.
Yeah, we skipped some of the one-offs like the Rendezvous and the Summit Series.
Those were more NHL events rather than double IHF. I mean, Spengler's not technically a double IHF
right
event, but they still hold it as such.
Well, we could do a whole show on, like, the NHL especially goes to Europe, you know, because they did that back in the 20s and the 50s, and so.
The USA Selects won the Spengler Cup in 1988, it looks like. So, I want to see who this USA Select is for the 1988.
Didn't Mark Crawford coach one of the Spengler Cup teams?
I think he coached, I know he coached in Switzerland.
Well, let's look.
Go look that up, and I'll look the 1998 Spengler results. Because it was a sudden, they've had sudden death shootouts.
Canada.
Yep.
2011.
There you go. So here's the Select team. Coach was Dave Peterson for the 1988 team.
Okay.
Goaltenders. Dan Delanettis and John Blue.
Really? John Blue, huh?
Defense, Jim Hughes, Brian McLaughlin, Tom O'Regan, Gary Schopek, Jim Sprengler, who thought he could get in because of his name, and Ronnie Wilson was on the former head coach of your Mighty Ducks, Washington Capitals, and Toronto Maple Leafs. Forwards, Todd Bjorkstrand, Bob Crawford, Rick Erdl, John Fritchie, Andy Jemfaza, Mickey Krempovich. Most of these names have to be made up. Mark Montrose, Corey Millen, Skeeter Moore, Jeff Nelson, and Dave Silk.
That's a random name to see in there.
What's that?
Corey Millen.
Yeah. Canadian teams really didn't have much of anything. A lot of these guys, college guys or national team guys, are playing over in Europe. Not really any names that jump out. Mike Sands. That's really about it. I mean, there's not really any other guy. No, Nelson Emerson, of course. How could I forget Nelson Emerson? So, there's that. That was fun. That was a good... Anything else that we missed out? Yeah, we could do a one-off and all the tours that they've done in terms of, like, going over to Sweden or Russia or things like that.
Yeah.
I think we can do that whenever we want to do, whenever we feel like doing the damn research, essentially. we did have one question. Your question's going to be sent to at SDRStromBubble on Twitter. Jaboy, Anthony Russell, asked us, since we're talking international, favorite international team logo. And that's interesting. An international team, a federation, or what have you logo. And offhand, I don't know if I can think of it. Yeah, I don't know if I can think of one offhand that gives...
I've always been partial to Finland.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Just the big lion.
Yeah.
The big lion. Yeah, like, I mean, offhand, like, I'm looking at the sportslogos.net, Chris Creamer's sportslogos.net. And, yeah, nothing really pops for me. Again, I don't follow international ice hockey as close as I should outside of the Spengler Cup most times. Slovenia looks cool. Like I told the Jen off-air, like, it looks a lot like... Minnesota Lynx and WNBA team, just the color scheme and just the fact there's a big Lynx on there. So Czech Republic or Czechoslovakia looked cool with the lion and stuff like that. Can't go wrong with the lion. Poodaboop, poodaboop. And the Polish one, because I'm Polish, and it's got an eagle with a crown that you kind of have to tilt your head before you see it, kind of thing. And Croatia actually just looks like a racing team logo, in all honesty.
Yeah.
Anything else that jumps out to you aside from Finland?
Like, I like the actual team, like, crest on the jerseys. So
Sweden's look cool. I like Sweden, the little ship patch.
Oh, the ship. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. My jersey has that on it.
Yep, it does. Yeah, the Germany logos. The interesting part about the Germany logo and the Germany jersey itself was that, was it a couple this past, well, probably wasn't this past one, but a couple Olympics ago, like, they had the actual two eagles on the sleeves as well.
Yes, yes.
So, like, Nike actually did something good there. but it's funny because, what was it, the Olympics stopped letting countries have their federation's logos on it a few years ago, which I don't get. Like, I mean, the IOC goes out of their mind when it comes to just letting anybody else get free pub.
Christ.
Well, the IOC has always been terrible.
So. Yeah, that's true.
I mean, let's just admit it.
It's the FIFA of all sports.
It is.
So that's it. I think we've done it.
I think so.
We've done a good enough show. Anything you need to promote or anything you want to mention or anything like that?
No.
Okay. Good call. I've got nothing either. Just listen to Faceoff Hockey Show. We're not giving away anything. Just listen, damn it. Apparently there's people on iTunes that are saying they don't understand the show.
Understand what show? Us?
No, Faceoff Hockey Show. Like the main show.
Oh.
They're going on our reviews. I don't get it.
What is there to get?
Like we're doing free content. We see each other once a week. We're gonna catch up and then we're gonna bullshit about hockey kind of.
Yeah.
And then go from there. Marks. All right, where can they find you?
At NHL History Girl.
And I am at Scotty Waz, and that's that. We've done it again. Next week, who knows what the hell we're going to talk about. We'll figure this out probably like Wednesday and then start doing the thing. Maybe we'll tape Saturday then.
Yeah, because it's your birthday next week.
Yeah, next Sunday. So I'm going to have a whole day to do nothing, any cookie.
Yes, yes, you'll have cookie.
Cookie. I'm supposed to have cookies today.
Today's not over, is it?
I come home. You said when you get home from work, you will have cookies.
Did I?
Yes.
Oh, sorry.
I come home. No cookies.
I was busy cleaning.
I guess. I guess that will suffice. All right, folks. For Jen, I'm Scott. Take care of yourself and someone else. It's been the Soderstrom Bubble on the Faceoff Hockey Show Media Regime. Check us out on Twitter. Like I said, SDRStromBubble. Anytime, day or night, if you have a question about retro hockey, or you want our take on something, please get to us, SDR Strom Bubble. But until we, I always like that, Strom Bubble Butt. We got it. It's great. That's it, folks. We'll talk to you next time. Bye. Bye.